we're going to go on pondering on John 6, but when you go home, read this text of Acts again. And let the Lord show you his graciousness. Huh? This is a man arresting Jesus' closest friends, the ones who believe in him, give their lives to him, come together to pray to him, feeding on his body and blood. Here's the guy. And that's the one he picks. Why? Well, if you read it closely, see, every prophet is stamped by that initial encounter. Whatever the first, you know, in Isaiah, the majesty and beauty and exaltedness of God in Isaiah 6. Jeremiah, it's the anguish, you know. Don't, I'm just a boy. The Lord says, don't say you're just a boy. You do what I tell you. And he had a hard time, you know. Each one is Amos. He saw the destruction coming, and there was a plague and a drought and these things coming on Israel. And he prayed, oh God, you know, relent. How can Israel stand? He is so small. And God said, this shall not be. So, if you look at this text, this is a prophetic call. What stamps Paul? Well, I'm doing this so you can go home and find him, you know. First, the total gratuity of grace. He was on his way to lock up the body of Christ. Second, you know, Jesus is alive. And he's the Son of God. He learned that in that experience. And that is the bulk of his message. Now, we come today to the end of the discourse. Tomorrow, Saturday, we'll have the reactions to the discourse. How many anybody saying it's too much? Disciples walking away, everybody. But today, we have this reassertion of this reality. Did you ever think of it, you know? What kind of love he would have to want to be that close to us, that part of us, that joined to us? It's, who was the great mystic lived in a hermitage? Thou shall be well, and all shall be well, and all shall be well. Julian of Norwich, yeah. You see, she said, see, our Lord is like a mother. He feeds us from his own flesh and blood. Like a mother nursing a child. And so, it's such a mystery of love that we either routinize it or neglect it. You see, but with the grace of this text that we've been reading now all week long, this beautiful. And today, you know, as Vatican II reminds us, when these texts are read, it is still Christ proclaiming his gospel. Or, as Pope Benedict reminds us, when this word is preached, Christ is present in a way analogous to presence in the bread and wine. I read that out to you beginning of the week, didn't I? Did you forget it? Oh, you can't forget that. And so, you see how much he wants to be part of us. You see? Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you don't have life within you, and I want you to have life. I want you to be able to say one day, I live, now not I, Christ lives in me. Because I don't replace you, I enhance you. I bring you to what the Father and I and the Blessed Spirit have destined for you from all eternity. I can hardly wait to be that joined to you. I often think, you see a young mother with a little baby and she keeps picking the little baby up like she wants to eat him, you know? Well, that's love. And that's what's going on in the Eucharist. It's love. You see? And I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Now, you know, we've done some of these before. I'm the true vine, you know. True, what does true mean in all these cases? It doesn't mean opposed to false. It means opposed to imperfect. You want food? Here, take my body and blood. This is true food. This will keep you alive forever. That's why Irenaeus says, you see, it's impossible, unless someone turn away, that the flesh which has received the flesh and blood of the Son of God, it's impossible that that flesh be corrupted forever. Impossible. It's been touched by the flesh of the Son of God. So there's an urgency, there's a power in this offer that we get. You know, this is Christ still proclaiming his gospel. You see? My flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Everything else is imperfect. This is the real thing. Because it'll keep you alive forever. You see? Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. It's a promise. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life, I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. It's supposed to happen. Well, how do we make it happen? We try every day to pray, stay in touch with him, and during the day, listen. Think. You know, from all eternity, the Lord looked forward to this morning when he will give us his flesh and blood again as out of love. Feed us from his own substance like a mother because he loves us.